to the book of Psalms, it's all about praising the Lord. The last five chapters actually begin with hallelujah, praise the Lord. For different reasons, for His works, for His goodness, for His mighty acts, for His loving kindness. We're brought to the end of the book of Psalms and really directed to praise the Lord. He's called us to praise Him. He's called us to worship Him and honor Him and exalt Him. But we're going to look at another block of Psalms briefly. Psalm 141 is a prayer for godliness, to be godly, and deliverance from sinners, as the psalmist prays. In Psalm 142, it's really an experience of deliverance. Some call it a prescription for depression. For David in the cave of Adullam, really in a low point in his life, his spirit is overwhelmed. And finding through the Lord and reaching out to the Lord as his refuge, being delivered. It's an experience of deliverance. Psalm 143 is an urgent appeal for help. Psalm 144, it's a psalm of trust. Psalm 145 we read this morning, testifying of God's great acts, His wondrous works. And then the following five psalms, the ending five psalms, all praising God for different reasons. Praising God, 146, praising God for His help. 147, praising for the regathering of the nation Israel as the children of Israel come back into the land, praising the Lord. Psalm 148, God's praise by all creation. You read in there, all of creation praises You, Lord. 149, God's praise by the children of Israel in the nation Israel. And Psalm 150 is really, you know, the summation of God's praise. Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, which is the Hebrew word. Which means praise the Lord. It's a word, it's interesting, that it means praise the Lord in every single language. Universal word to praise the Lord. Hallelujah! We went to a church years ago, Church of Detroit it was called, and had different congregations there, different races, and had like a Korean section. And every once in a while, you know, they would yell out, Hallelujah! And I understood what they were saying, you know, praise the Lord! And we're called to praise the Lord. And it's really the dominant theme of the book of Psalms, especially as we come to the end here. This morning, you know, what would cause me to praise the Lord? Or what would stand in the way of me or you praising the Lord? You know, what would prevent me from praising the Lord? We see it's the direction, you know, the book of Psalms is about, you know, a compilation of songs and poems to be read to really lead us in praising the Lord. Psalm 34, the Bible says, David writes, Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. And it's really the direction that we're being taken through the book of Psalms. It's really our end. As we draw closer to the Lord, one day, being with Him, we'll be praising Him. Praise won't be able to be withheld from our mouth being in His presence. The book of Revelation tells us the heavenly scene of those surrounding His throne, praising Him, worshiping Him, exalting Him, honoring Him, magnifying Him. So will we. But it's the direction we're being brought in. And I just wanted to look at a few things here. How, you know, in Psalm 141, maybe different things would stand in the way and really purpose what would, you know, my reason to worship Him or to praise Him, what it would be. I see one thing in here is that there's a true need in me and you for Him, for His rule in us, for us to be under His government. Look in Psalm 141, verse 3, as David writes, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." The need for His influence. Guarding what comes out of my mouth, David says. Protect what I say. Keep me back from the wrong things. Notice in verse 4, same psalm, Psalm 141. "Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies." Protect what I say, Lord. Guard over my mouth and really keep me from the inclinations of my own heart. You know, the Bible tells us that man did evil. Every intent in his imagination, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, when God brought judgment upon the earth, the intent, the inclinations of their heart weren't restrained, weren't held back. David praying, "Lord, keep me from my own depravity, my own sinful nature, from my own inclinations of my heart. Guard my mouth, saying the wrong things." The need of us for Him, His reign in us. Protect me, Lord, from my own inclinations, from going the wrong way, from going wayward, straying from You. Becoming separated from You. Hooking up with the wrong company. Oh, eating of their delicacies. Hanging out with the wrong people. People that don't acknowledge You. Ungodly people. Protect me, Lord, from their company. Don't let me get under their persuasion. I don't want to hang out, be a part of their influence. David crying out for intervention. Lord, I need You. I need You to guard over things I say. I need You to protect me from my own inclinations and my own heart. I need You to keep me from the wrong company. In verse 5, "Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it." Notice, keep me from the wrong company, but let the righteous strike me. And really what he's asking or saying is, Lord, let me accept Your correction. God knows I need correction. God knows we all need correction, chastisement. And Lord, help me be correctable. Let it be like oil on my head. Let me accept it, what You have. The need for His influence, His government, His rule, protecting what I say, protecting me from the inclinations of my heart, keeping me separate from the wrong company, and correcting me, changing me from the inside out. Notice another need of His government. Deliverance. Look in 142. Look in verse 5. "I cried out to You, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Your name. Free me, Lord." The need I have, you have for the Lord, His reign, His government in us. We need to be free. He's the only one that can set us free. But notice setting us free, that I might praise you. The direction He's taking us to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him. Not only as a body on Sunday, and we come to church and we praise Him, but it to be our heart's response, to praise Him. Free me, Lord, that I might praise You. We need Him. We need His rulership, His reign, His lordship. We need His reign over our own self, over myself, keeping me from the inclinations of my heart. His lordship, His authority. We need Jesus. We need His freedom. We need the freedom that only He can bring. The need for His government. Notice that not only do we need His government or reign or lordship in us and over us, we need to be a part of it. The Bible calls us to be a part of His government. Not just, you know, come under the authority of, well, you hear a lot of Obama's appointments, you know, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, cabinet members. But He wants us to be a part of His administration, His government, His kingdom, His purpose, His plan, His will. Calling us to be a part of His government. We just read that He frees us that we might praise Him, to participate. You know, He brings us into a freer, higher level of life. For what? That we might praise Him, acknowledge Him, worship Him, be a part of His government. Look in Psalm 143, verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In You I take shelter. Teach me to do Your will. For You are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Teach me to do Your will. Be a part of His government. Be a part of His will. I can't do that. You can't do that. We can't do that apart from His working in us, His Spirit. But here's a heart crying out, not only to come under the government, His reign, but to be a part of it. Let me participate, Lord. Free me that I might praise You. Teach me to do Your will, Lord. Let me know what it is. Tune me in. Cause my heart to be sensitive to You. What to say, what not to say. Teach me to do Your will. Really speaks of taking up His cause, being a part of His cause, pledging my allegiance to Him, enrolling in His army. Look in Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and makes my fingers for battle. How David talks of how God prepared him to be a soldier as part of being a part of His cause, being involved in His government. It's one capacity as a soldier. And we're to enroll in His plan, in His purpose, to exalt Him, to glorify Him, to praise Him. It's the end. It's the direction we're being taken in the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Worship Him. But there's benefits. You know, not only is there a need for me to be under His government and to be a part of His government, but there's benefits of being under and a part of His government, to reap the blessings of His reign. Look in Psalm 144, verse 11. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in the palace style. Oh, Lord, that our family would be protected, righteous, strong, healthy. Part of being in his government, part of being a part of his government, the blessings to be reaped from being under his authority. Notice that in verse 13, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, the real prosperity, you know, message in the scripture is coming under his lordship, not speaking prosperity, but coming under his obedience. And then he'll bless you. That's what the Bible tells you, or tells us, tells me. Our barns will be full. He'll provide. We'll prosper. The benefits of being under his government, reaping the blessings. And then it goes on that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, there be no breaking in or going out, no B&Es, and there is no outcry in our streets. Protection, family, prosperity, protection, benefits of being in his government. We think, oh, we're in a mess, and Obama's got a stimulus program. But the market's responding in the opposite direction. The market's going down. The very thing that is supposed to purport and help, you know, and assist our economy's worsening, it seems. It's not working initially. But his plan to be under his rule, the Bible tells us that he'll take care of us. He'll prosper us. He'll watch over our family. He'll protect us. The blessings he offers to reap the blessings of his reign. 147, the end of verse 7 and 147 says, you know, you will deal bountifully with me. As, you know, psalmist is looking forward, God's plans, abundance. You know, I see, you know, the integral truth of the teaching of the government of God. And how, you know, it's not just a profession, our relationship with the Lord, but there's responsibility. He wants to reign in me and in you. You know, we talk about Jesus, come in my heart. You know, I want you to be my Lord. And we talk about it, but what does it mean to come under his reign, under his rule? Well, he wants us to praise him with our whole heart. We're being directed in that direction. But it's a choice to come under his rule and reign and government. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Judges, at the end of the book of Judges, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It was a time of darkness. Judges kind of records a cycle, you know, how the people are captive in sin. They cry out to God, and God delivers, raises up a judge, delivers his people. They start to prosper, and as they start to prosper, they take their eyes away from God. They go plummet back into sin. Just a cycle that woven through the book of Judges. But over and over again, doing what they think's right in their own eyes. It's like living a life not under his reign. No king at that time. It's a choice for us to come under his reign. The book of Judges records a time of disobedience, a time of rebellion, a time of defeat, a time of idolatry, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes, when there was no king in Israel. Look in 146. Look in verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. One of the benefits of reaping in his government is he promises to make us happy. You ever hear them proposals? Listen, I'm going to make you happy. But he promises, God, in his word, promises to make you happy. You come under his government, under his reign, I'll satisfy you. I'll make you happy. It's a promise from God. And it's an everlasting promise. Look in Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Eternally, his government, his kingdom, when Jesus comes back, sets up his kingdom on the earth, we're going to be a part of it, the Bible tells us. Two, incorporate his kingdom, his government, his rule, his reign in us, over us, is God's plan. To be open to be corrected and directed and protected, really, is his plan. Being led to have a whole heart that praises the Lord. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. We need his influence and his power and his presence in us, over us, to recognize our need and to submit under his reign. It was, you know, woven through the whole Bible to turn to the Lord. And for those that call out for the Lord's correction, Lord, let me accept this being smote or stricken by the righteous as oil poured on my head. Let me accept it. Let me be teachable, correctable, open to your change, Lord. Just some little bit of encouragement to turn to the Lord. Let's stand. Accepting his government, as the psalmist does, recognizing our need, Lord, it's not, by happenstance that you died to be our Savior and require us to follow your Lordship. It's our need. We need you, Lord. We need your influence in us, over us. To be directed to praise you and worship you and honor you. Lord, give us a responsive heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And we do, Lord, seek freedom, Lord, over forces and influences stronger than I. Let me out of prison that I might praise you. Teach me, Lord, to do your will. Help me understand what you want me to do, to obey you, to hear your voice, to follow you, to walk with you, to live with you, for at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, and to reap, Lord, the benefits, correction and direction and protection over me and over my family. Lord, we look to you and we need you. We ask that we would comply according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.